بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting, our prayers, our du'as in this very blessed time and in these very unusual circumstances. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take advantage of every opportunity, every moment that He has given us in this blessed month of Ramadan. Today the recitation covers most of Surah Nisa, beginning right from the beginning of the surah, which is at the end of the fourth juz, and continuing until Ayah 147 at the end of the fifth juz. And Surah Nisa contains many commandments related to social life. There's issues of marriage, whom one can marry, how many wives a man can have, how to resolve disputes and deal fairly with everyone in the context of marriage. There are details about shares of inheritance, who inherits, who doesn't inherit, what are the portions of everyone who inherits. There are reminders about importance of taking care of the orphans, especially coming in a society where people would take advantage of the situation of orphans, and if they were entrusted with the wealth of orphans, they would usurp that wealth or mix it into their own wealth on the pretext of helping manage that wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them out and exposed people that violate the rights of orphans with regards to their wealth. There are teachings about prayer in times of difficulty, when a person is traveling, when there is a situation of conflict and war. How does one perform their prayer? When one does not have water, how does one do wudu? And there are many, many different ahkam and commandments in this surah. And one ayah that I wanted to focus on is the very first ayah of this surah. And it's the ayah that we hear often in our khutbas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of mankind, O mankind, have taqwa of your Lord, have taqwa of your nourisher, of your sustainer, of your Rabb, who created you from a single living entity, and from it created its mate, and from the two propagated a multitude of men and women. And fear Allah, in whose name you demand your rights from one another, and fear the violation of the ties of kinship. Surely Allah is watchful over you. This ayah contains a very powerful reminder of having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of humanity, reminding us of our common ancestry, of our common origin, that we all go back to one set of parents, Adam and Hawa alayhim wassalam, and that we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all His creation. And taqwa often is translated with fear, but the fear that is meant in this context is not a fear that is natural, that is elemental to us as human beings, like the fear of darkness, or the fear of financial loss, or the fear of a disease. Rather, taqwa is the fear that arises from the conviction that overstepping the bounds set by my Rabb, my nourisher, my sustainer, who is most merciful, most compassionate, most wise, all-knowing, who set these bounds, who gave me these teachings to live by, that if I were to overstep those bounds, if I were to fall short of fulfilling His commands, then I risk terrible consequences for myself in this life and the next. It is a fear, it is an awe, a loving fear, a fear with reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this ever-present consciousness of Allah and using that to guide our choices in life, at every stage in our life. And many people associate taqwa with simply performing acts of worship, like performing the salah, or reciting the Quran, or giving certain wealth in charity. But and taqwa definitely has a huge part in that. But taqwa is not limited to that. It's much more encompassing. And in fact, in the context that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this surah with and reminding us of taqwa, it especially applies in our dealings with one another. In the context of marriage, between a husband and a wife, in the context of parents and children, in their interactions and dealing with one another, in dealing with our other ties of kinship, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, that fear Allah, in whose name you request obligations from one another, you seek your rights from one another, and fear the violation of the ties of kinship, our extended families, our uncles and aunts and cousins. Taqwa also applies in our dealings in that regard. It also applies in the context of business, of financial dealings, when buying and selling, when borrowing and returning, when getting into some sort of business contract or deal. All of those aspects are where taqwa is applicable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidelines and rules that govern all of these aspects of our life. Many of these guidelines come in this surah, or in the surah before or forthcoming. But in every aspect of our life, it is this taqwa that guides us to begin those interactions that we have with one another on the right foot. And to make sure that when we are tempted with our desires, by our emotions, when we are tempted in the heat of a situation, whether it's a heat of passion or the heat of anger or any other sort of emotion, that we do not get carried away. And in fact, this ayah is often recited at the time of nikah, in the beginning of the khutbah of nikah, where the imam, when he is performing the nikah, will recite this ayah as one of the ayahs of reminder to the congregation and reminder to the couple that in fact this is forms the bedrock of one's relationship. This is the secret to marital happiness and bliss. So that when we are upset with our spouse, for example, we don't get carried away in our anger or frustration, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us at all times. When we are in a position of power, of authority, that when we have some status, that we don't abuse that and exploit the weaknesses of others. When there is a situation that requires us to sacrifice or compromise, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us and we are mindful of Him. And this helps us to make sure that we are fulfilling our obligations and our duties to one another, instead of always trying to seek out our rights from one another. Rather, we are focused on ourselves, and am I falling short in fulfilling the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on me? And in fact, if we think about it, taqwa is the goal of fasting. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who have believed, fasting has been prescribed upon you, just as it was prescribed to those before you, so that you may attain taqwa. And this is especially relevant to us now, as we are living in our homes, we're interacting a lot more with our family members. We are, you know, many of us are staying at home and spending long periods of time with our family members. And sometimes this long periods of time can cause sparks of conflict and issues to arise. And so being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having this awareness that Allah is watching every deed of mine is very, very important. Umar radiallahu anhu once asked Ubay ibn Ka'b to describe taqwa. And he said, have you ever walked on a thorny path, a path that has a lot of thorns? And Umar radiallahu anhu said, of course, I have traversed such paths. And he said, okay, how did you conduct yourself when you were walking in that path? And he said, I brought my clothes together and I was very careful so as not to tear them. And he said, that is taqwa. And subhanAllah, if we think about it, in our day, these days, we're getting a demonstration of this type of behavior with the, you know, the fear that everyone has of the virus outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. We avoid touching surfaces, shaking hands, You know, we cover our faces, our mouths, our noses. We use sanitizers and wipes religiously. We do this to protect ourselves and to protect others from anything that we may have. And our duty in this life, as we go through our lives, is to extend this taqwa, to extend this caution that we live with, to ensure that we are carrying out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands in every aspect of our lives, that we are mindful of Him in every relationship that we have, that we are mindful of Him in every business transaction that we do, that we are mindful of Him in fulfilling our duties to Him and to others around us, so that we protect ourselves from any harm and causing harms to others. And when we are mindful of this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us a life, as He describes, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, that He will grant the people of Iman and Taqwa a life of حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, a beautiful life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this Taqwa and allow us to live by this in every aspect of our lives. وَصَلِ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.